warm up.
Yeah. We ask it interest in your prayers as we stand before you for a few moments this afternoon. It's been a wonderful day for me. A wonderful day for us all, I trust. And we do give thanks to God for the many blessings that we have been given by His hand this day. You know, we all have many troubles as we sojourn in this time world, as Scripture tells us in Job, that man born of a woman is but of a few days, but full of troubles. Even though sometimes we would like to exclude ourselves and thinking that while troubles might come to our brethren, that our prayer is that they don't come our way. I want to go to the book of Proverbs, I think, this afternoon, just for a moment. The third book of Proverbs. And I think it's a book that I go to often in my own thoughts as I look at things that I encounter in this world. And while we think this world is waxing worse and worse, and I can't but not compare us to God's children of old. When Joshua, as was quoted earlier, when Joshua said to the people of God that you must choose you this day whom you will serve, and the people responded, and God forbid, that we should serve, that we will serve our God. And Joshua said, you cannot.
You can't.
You can't. And you think of that picture, and you think of us today, and it's seeming like we're in the same spot, in the sense that, yes, we say that, yes, I will serve the Lord. I mean, how many of God's children would not say that? That, yes, I will serve the Lord our God. But that same little lamb will not look to the Lord their God for deliverance. They're going to look for it elsewhere. They're looking to the rudiments and the elements and the men of this world to deliver them from a situation in which only God and God alone has the power in which to deliver us. But yet we say we do. But indeed in action, we're just like those children of Israel that Joshua was talking to. You see, Joshua had a more insight. He knew what they were going to do. Just like we, brethren, we know by the revelation of God, we know that that there is none of us that is righteous. We know that we will always fall short. But even in that falling short, brethren, we have been blessed to look at life not with doom and gloom, because we know that in the midst of all of this sadness and sorrow, that we serve one who is able to deliver us. Amen. We don't have to look elsewhere for deliverance. We know it will come by the hand of a merciful God. And in what manner that deliverance comes, it doesn't really matter. We simply have the hope and faith that it will come. You see. Somebody was saying this morning, well, you can only kill this clay tabernacle one time. It's only going to die once. And what is the end result of that? You go home to be with the Lord. I mean, so what, what is there for God's children to fear in this world? And why do we as God's children always look elsewhere except from whence cometh our help? Because our help coming from God. It has always been that way. It will always be that way. So why do we stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-headed, little lambs of God always seem to get it wrong I don't care how many times we are corrected. I don't care how many times we are blessed to see your deliverance, to feel it, to experience your deliverance. And yet we go back to that same spot after God has so mercifully delivered us. We return just like the dog returning to his own vomit. We go back and do the same thing over and over and over again. It doesn't fail. It's almost like something's wrong up here. Or something's wrong here. And when we consider what the nature of that fall was all about, brethren, that's a very good picture of it.
Amen.
It's a very good picture of it. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Forget not my law. That is the word of God to ever heir of promise, to forget not my law and to keep my commandments. Oh, brethren, God's children have been trying to self-justify themselves ever since Adam said to God, oh, well, it was that woman, you see. Ever since that time, brethren, God's children have been trying to justify why they do what they do in disobedience to our Father in heaven. Yes, we will be disobedient, but we got a reason why. We got an excuse. We got an exception. We always got something, some way of an explanation as to why we did not do what God has bid us to do in the first instance. And God says here, as he does throughout all the scripture, by the way, we can read in the Gospels when the Lord simply says, if you love me, what is the evidence thereof? If you love me, it's simple. Just keep my commandments. That's all you got to do. But we know, brethren, that we have that old nature. But brethren, let us not use that old nature as an excuse. You know, sometimes I think we're so slothful that we say, oh, well, you know, it's just how I am. Well, yeah, that will be how you are if they had that attitude. I mean, if we always have that attitude, you can always be like that. I mean, if we're not blessed by God to be humble before the Lord our God, to as John says, if we don't go before that mercy seat to confess our sins, understanding that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like Jonah in the whale, we can't run and hide. We can't hide from God. Well, brethren, we can't hide. We can't cover it up. He knows all. I mean, we might as well pray that we might be blessed of him to simply to confess those things that we're trying to hide. Go before that mercy seat and pray to the Lord our God that he would simply to search our hearts, brethren, that darkness that lies within us might be revealed. Because we all got it somewhere. You know, it's easy for us to indeed to try to to recognize that little weakness over there, my brother, and try to take that little speck out of his eye. I mean, it's easy for us to do that, brother. But Scripture says, "What about the mote that is in your own eye?" We're so busy, brethren, trying to find fault with somebody else for whatever reason, rather than being blessed of God to simply look in the mirror that he might shine within us, that we might see ourselves and the weakness thereof and humble ourselves before a merciful God and pray that he would have mercy on us. You see, God would have mercy on me. You see, that's good for you too, you see.
You understand what I mean?
Brother John was blessed that God would be merciful to this sinner. This sinner is going to be blessed to walk with my Lord. And if I'm walking with my Lord, I'm okay to be around, you see. But if I'm not, it might not be so pretty, you know. You might get to see some of that that I don't want you to see. Or some of that sometimes I really don't care whether you see it or not. I mean, I can be that way. We all can be that way, brethren. But simply, we just have that attitude. We just don't care. But praise be to God. We serve a God that does care. A God who has loved us with an everlasting love. And the writer says, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The peace of God. For God forgetting not his law. Keeping his commandments. Peace that passeth all understanding. You know, sometimes I think we don't recognize how all that connects together. You know, we're going to walk with the Lord. There's peace with that. If we're going to do what the Lord would bid us to do, there's peace with that. Of course, there may be a war raging around us, but there's peace. There's peace and tranquility when we're blessed, brethren, to simply to just trust and obey. As a little child would trust and obey their parent, and we would be blessed to simply trust and obey the Lord our God, life would be so much sweeter. Well, it won't be without its trials and its troubles, you see. But we would be blessed to recognize that we're not going through those trials and troubles by ourselves. I wouldn't look at Brother Barney and want to hit him side the head, you see, as I go through this trouble, because I think he is the trouble, or I think that he's causing the trouble. But I realize, brethren, that we indeed wrestle with spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, it's not about Brother Barney.
Amen.
You know, it's not about him at all, you see. But sometimes when we're not trusting and we're not obeying, it's all about what someone else has done to you or to me. It's not about what I have done. You see, because what I have done is okay. It's just you. It's just you. That's a problem. And it sounds trivial and funny. But you know, brother, that's the way we are. That is the way we are. And if, brethren, these simple words that the writer is writing here, that and we as God's children are simply blessed, brethren, to obey. Not that we are creatures of perfection, and not that we're going to escape sin in our lives, brethren. But brethren, it's better, brethren, that we run a race looking to that prize, brethren, who is the author and finisher of our faith, rather than walking in a ho-hum manner in this world, like life really doesn't matter. Well, the Lord has saved me, and I'm not one day sweet dead, but I hope to go to heaven. But in the meantime, brethren, I'm going to live this life the best I can, irregardless of what God has bid me to do. When you think about what is wrong with this land that we live in, you can read it right in that first verse. The law of God, it's like it's non-existent. It's been replaced by the foolishness of the natural mind.
Amen.
If you want to sum it all up, that's where we are. That's where we are as a nation. The law of God, brethren. Oh yeah, they may talk about it, but they're not going to walk in it, you see. And shamefully, brethren, Some of they are us. Don't think they're all out. God's chosen brethren are as numerous as the stars in the heaven. And the sands on the seashore. Don't even think about that. Some of those out there running amok are not his own. You know? And brethren, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be out there running around with them as well.
Yes.
I mean, brethren, who are we that we should escape such things, brethren? Except by the mercy and grace of Almighty God, that our hearts have been touched this day, this hour, that we would gather with the saints to worship the Lord our God. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. We know that God writes his laws on our heart. You know, brethren, sometimes I think about those brethren in the old days. Well, those were subtle reminders of tying this stuff around their head, brethren. Sometimes we as God's children can be a head case. And sometimes I think, well, maybe we should have that around our head. Because obviously, brethren, our hearts seem to have been numb by it all. Our hearts seem sometimes to be numb by the things of this world. And we find ourselves, brethren, just like those brethren in the parable of the sower. I mean, yeah, we rejoice for a season, but we're entangled with so much in this world, brethren, that we're entangled with so much of the king's meat, and that we just don't want to give it up. We rather for a season to enjoy those things rather than to deny those things, brethren, that we might have peace with God. That peace that passeth all understanding. Sometimes those natural things, we get so entangled in them that they seem just so important to us. Yeah, I can be that way sometimes with sweets. You know, Brother Sam, if I don't pick one up, I'm good.
Yep.
But if I do, I'm going to be all over the place. It affects my mood, my attitude. I mean, just... Sometimes we don't think about that, you know, like, well, I'm just going to eat a little bit of that or drink a little bit of that. But what does it do? I mean, what does it really do to us? I mean, you find yourself grumpy and irritable, and the least little thing somebody says to you, you're ready to just jump on them because you naturally consume things. Well, imagine what happens, brethren. When we neglect the spiritual part of our lives, imagine what happens, brethren, when we don't walk as the Lord had bid us to do, when we don't seek to follow and walk in His commandments and to walk in His law. Imagine what happens to us in the spiritual sense.
Leanness.
Yeah. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In verse 5, one of my favorite verses.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I confess sometimes I just don't understand. But I've been blessed to realize it doesn't really matter that I don't understand. Because I serve one who does.
Amen.
You know. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord thine God with all thine heart. Now, God never said for us to trust in mankind, but to trust in Him.
Amen.
And the Lord bids us, brethren, I think it was in the Gospel of Matthew, come unto me. Then that message is for God's little lambs out there. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. He doesn't tell us to go anywhere else to get that. He doesn't tell us to seek comfort from the trinkets of this world. He tells us to come to Him. That is the only resting place that we as God's children have. We need to be like Mary who chose the good part. We don't need to be cumbered about, because when we get all cumbered about, brethren, we get confused and we drift off into those worldly things.
Yep.
But we need to be like little Mary.
Amen.
resting at the feet of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? She chose the good part. You know, brother? Her sister didn't see it, David. Remember? And her sister understood. She had a great love for the Lord. He said, I know that thou wilt raise him on the last day. I mean, she knew all those things, but she couldn't see what her sister saw. And sometimes, brethren, we can't see it either. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Brethren, if you're leaning on something that did not come from this book, you're leaning on your own understanding.
Amen.
Okay? If you're trusting in something that you heard in the news that is not grounded in the Word of God, but yet you're making some kind of a sense out of it anyway, you're leaning on your own understanding. And brethren, when we compare our natural understanding to the wisdom of Almighty God, we will stumble and fall each and every time. There is a wisdom from above, we read in James. And James tells us, he who lack wisdom, turn on your TV to CNN, and you'll get it. Is that what James says? No, he didn't say that, did he? But how many of us do that?
Yeah.
How many of us do that? Well, I don't understand this, so let me Google it. If you're for your internet people, let me just Google that and see if I can get an understanding. Or let me just turn on the TV and see what the commentator is going to say about that. Is that what God told us to do? No. He did not. James says, or God tells us through James, he says, he who lack wisdom, let him ask of who?
God.
Who giveth liberally. There is no limit to that which God will give you. You can't use up your allotment. For those who may have been in the military, you know, when you're overseas, you get rations. That's a safeguard to sort of keep you in check. Like if you smoke cigarettes, you know, you get like so many cartons because they don't want you to sell them on the black market. So you ration. And so when you run out of that limit, you're not going to get any more until you get your next ration. Well, God's not that way. There's no limit to what God, when we go before our Father and we ask that He would bless us with the wisdom, with understanding, brethren, there is no limit to the amount of times we can go. And Scripture says, he upbraideth for not. He's not gonna chastise you because you come back because you don't understand. He's not like us. He's not going to say, well, didn't I tell you that yesterday? Why do you keep coming back and ask me the same thing over and over and over again? That's how we natural people are. But brethren, realize that God is not like that. That His storehouse is unlimited, brethren. All we have to do is simply go before that mercy seat and ask the Lord our God to give us wisdom. To give us an understanding. And He freely gives it to us. It doesn't cost us anything. Doesn't cost us anything at all. We don't have to give Him a donation. He's not going to have you to mail him a check for the next 6 months to cover that, which He gives you. It's free. Free. All we have to do is simply ask. And verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Now, how many of us fall short on that? How many of us have ways that we don't even want to talk about? How many of us have ways that I don't want to talk to the Lord about this one because He's going to say no. Well, brethren, we ought not have those ways in the first place.
Amen.
You know, if we ought not have those ways. Brethren, there's realizing, brethren, that if you don't acknowledge Him, that doesn't mean that He's blind to what you're doing. Or He doesn't mean that He's blind to what you're contemplating doing. So, brethren, when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, there's also a peace that comes with that as well. It's a peace and assurance when we acknowledge Him, you see. Just like when the Lord says that anything that we would ask of the Father in His name, the Father would do. I remember years ago, he was a Catholic priest. He was talking to me about prayer. And I said, you know, one thing for certain, the more I pray and the more God blesses me to come before that mercy seat, my prayers change. You see, brethren, the scripture tells us it's oft times we don't know what we ought to pray anyway, but the Spirit intercedes and utter those things that we can't utter ourselves. You know, brethren, when we're blessed to go before that mercy seat, it's not really about us, you know. We can be blessed to remember our Savior when He says to the Father as He prayed, and Scripture describes that prayer as a great drop likened unto blood, that be it not my will, but that Thy will be done. Realizing it and acknowledging that, brethren, that we do not have the answers to all things. We do not understand all things. But praise be to God, we serve a God who does know all things and who has an answer for us. And sometimes, brethren, when we don't know, we simply say, let it be as it might be pleasing in Thy sight. And feeling well with that, knowing it is well with my soul, because my God will never leave me nor forsake me. And one sweet day He will deliver me all the way home. What a God we serve. What a joy it is, brethren, to serve the living God, knowing, brethren, that He will deliver you in this time world, and He will deliver you in the world to come. Blessed be His name.